You're listening to Hammer MMA.
Roy McDonald.
TJ Dillashaw.
Now Mark the Hammer Coleman, and you're listening to The Hammer.
Welcome to The Hammer. I'm your host, Dave, and as always, by my co-host,
Greg Pearson. How's it going, guys?
And Steve Jeffrey. Hey.
You're listening to us at 93.3 CFMU. You can also find us at thehammermma.com. We got a great show for you. We get to talk about some fun stuff that's happening in MMA, and most importantly, the upcoming UFC fight night, Adesanya versus Imavov, this February 1st, or in Canada, that is Tariff Day. So I think we're really looking forward to it because we're paying a 25% tariff on it.
Yeah, speaking of dictators, we've got a show in Saudi Arabia coming up on February 1st. And yeah, that's what we're going to talk about in the first half of the show, as Dave said. And yeah, second half of the show, we got to talk about this GFL thing. So a global fight league or something. I can't wait to talk about it. Sounds like a blast.
Global PFL.
Let's start off with this UFC fight night. This is February 1st, as Dave said. Adesanya versus Imavov from Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. This is an interesting place for Israel Adesanya to be. He's no longer the UFC middleweight champion. He lost a fight to get the belt back. He didn't lose it to Dricus du Plessis, but he had a chance to win it from Dricus du Plessis. And now we have a guy who has been in title fights for years, and now, you know, not the champion, and he's just headlining a fight night against, like, a top five guy in Imavov. It's always an interesting place to sort of see these elite level guys out of the title picture. But I guess if he wins this fight, I guess maybe he gets back to the title picture.
Well, so the thing with Adesanya is, like, he's going through some struggles. And, like, it is weird to see him fighting in Saudi Arabia because, you know, like, to the best of my knowledge, he's not a wanted criminal and he does have a valid passport. So you'd assume they could probably bring him to, like, the States. But, you know, Saudi Arabia occasionally does insist on good main events. And I guess this is the best that they're going to get.
I think if you're not going to do a title fight, Israel Adesanya is about as big of a name as you've got, right?
Exactly. And I mean, like, he's on a two-fight losing streak against Dricus and Sean. You know, he hasn't had the belt now since 2023 when he won it against Alex. So, I mean, like, it's been, you know, a year and change, year and a half. He retired. He was going through that brutal breakup where you know, the girlfriend wanted support or whatnot, the common law spouse. So, I mean, like, he didn't even really want that fight or want to fight that much. Meanwhile, if you look at Imavov, he's won three fights in a row against Dolatze, against Cannonier, against Brendan Allen. All of those are very good guys. His only real loss in the UFC is Strickland. And, like, maybe Phil Hawes back, like, 2021 when he started. But, like, who really cares about that? I don't hate this fight. I think it's a pretty good fight.
It's a great matchup. I think that this is well-leveled when it comes to these two guys. Obviously, Adesanya is somebody who, as you mentioned, Dave, he's had a lot of stuff to go through recently, a lot of turmoil in his career. You know, two straight losses. 2023 April, that was the Alex Pereira knockout, so that was his last win. Not like a massive amount of time ago, we're looking like a year and a half or so. But what I see here is kind of like, it really depends on what version of Adesanya comes out. And stylistically, if he's able to do his style bender thing, he's able to strike as he can strike, I think Imavov could have a rough night. Because the thing is, despite Imavov being, you know, from Dagestan, he's a striker. He's not like, you know, he moved to France when he was nine. He's boxing guy, lots of knockouts. He's beaten some great guys, as you mentioned, Dave, you know, Dolatze, Cannonier, Brendan Allen. These guys aren't on the striking level that Israel Adesanya is. Adesanya is going to have a 5-inch reach advantage here. If this is a stand-up fight, which it likely could be, I'm leaning slightly towards Adesanya, but I'm cautious because I don't know what version of him we're going to get.
See, to me, the fact that Imavov is not really a Dagestan wrestler, he's a boxing guy, I think that plays to his advantage here. Because the guys we've seen beat Adesanya, Dricus and Sean Strickland, they were boxing guys. Adesanya is very, very good at striking. Like he just is. He's legendary for a reason. But so much of it relies on his ability to counter strike and to use that 5-inch reach he's going to have, and to, like, you know, intimidate the other guy a little bit, find some angles, and then, like, just go off and just go nuclear on the guy. But when you look at, like, Adesanya when he's being pressured and he's fighting a guy with a good tough chin, it doesn't always work for him, because he's, like, he is moving back a lot. He is not throwing a ton of power shots until he gets, like, that right angle. So, I mean, like, Dricus walk him down, Sean Strickland walk him down, Pereira walked him down. Adesanya's 35 now. He's starting to slow down a little bit. And when you look at Imavov, no one's knocked this guy out. He has some of the tools that Adrikis has shown us work against Adesanya.
It's really weird that guys who have given Adesanya problems, like, obviously Alex Pereira is an incredible striker, and Adesanya went 1-1 with Pereira. They could fight a whole bunch of times, and you'll get all sorts of wacky knockouts on either side. It's a pretty evenly matched kickboxing fight. But it's amazing he had so much trouble with Duplessis and Strickland. And I think it might be because they're weird. They're both so weird. And Adesanya out there in the open, being able to, like having a traditional kickboxing fight, there aren't many guys on his level. But Duplessis, these big clubbing, weird blows, weird timing. Strickland went in that shell during that fight. They won't fight Adesanya's fight. And I mean, we've seen other guys not fight Adesanya's fight and nothing happens, like the Yoel Romero fight and like the Costa. Like, it's they're weird fights where just nothing happens. But these guys wouldn't give him a traditional kickboxing fight. And he just kind of didn't know what to do. And he got beat by these guys that really aren't on his level as strikers overall. I think Imavov's a little more of a, I'm glad you mentioned that he's not much of a wrestler, Greg. Like, I mean, if he's got a wrestling game, he doesn't show it in the UFC. Rarely gets a takedown, doesn't shoot that many, not that successful when he does. But like, as far as like a striker, I don't really know what he does that Adesanya can't handle. You mentioned the reach. I don't know. I don't think he's like a superpower guy, unless Adesanya is like well over the hill and these losses can add up and there's momentum, like all this stuff. Like you know, unless he's just kind of on the way down and lots of guys are gonna start to catch him and beat him and not just champion guys. I think Adesanya's the better striker. I think he wins rounds. The fact that this is probably going to be a striking fight is good for Adesanya, and he might need more fights like this if he's going to keep winning, because I can see guys, well, look at Duplessis with the submission that time too. He's never really been a great wrestler, Adesanya, so guys having the wrestling in their back pocket's probably pretty helpful. I don't know how much of it Imavov's going to have or how successful he'll be with it. I think it's probably going to be a striking fight, and I think Adesanya's done better against better guys, and even recently. The Pereira win wasn't that long ago. It's probably time to start fading Adesanya, but I don't think this is it. I think he wins this one. Okay. Adesanya is still the favorite. I guess it makes sense. You know, former champion and all that, still fighting at a high level. Not a huge favorite, like a minus 170. So competitive fight, but Adesanya expected to win this. The co-main, like a pretty cool middleweight fight between Sherabut and Magomedov and Michael Venom Page. These guys are like top 15-ish guys in their own divisions. Like Magomedov, he's now 14 at middleweight. MVP, he's the number 15 ranked welterweight at the moment. He's now moving. Like, it's probably the smart move, because like losing to Ian Garry, his momentum's kind of stalled there. May as well go to middleweight and kind of start fresh in that. If he wins against Magomedov, then he'll be a ranked middleweight now. He can kind of go that way. So again, I don't know if it's the best move for MVP to move up to middleweight, but that Garry loss really stalled him, and maybe this is a fresh start.
Yeah, I mean, like, MVP, he had a great career in Bellator, was super flashy, super fun, looked awesome, came and beat Kevin Holland, so, like, you know, there's some hype on that. But then he got moved up to Machado Garry, who beat him. And, you know, Kevin Holland is also kind of inconsistent. He loses a lot of fights. Meanwhile, Magomedov, he's 15-0. He's not inconsistent. He's young. He's tough. He's one of those up-and-coming guys that, like, it looks like he's going to take over the division at some point. So, great, great wrestling, great grappling. Throws those wild Dagestani fists that actually sometimes work. like he did against Armin Petrosian, where he knocked him out with double spinning back fists. I just think that Michael Venom Page, being on the wrong side of 30 by a lot, going up a division and taking on a guy who's like at this level, I think he's in real trouble here. I think Magomedov wins this one, and I don't think it's going to be all that close.
I'm seeing your point, Dave, and I'm sort of siding with you a little bit there. I will say there's a couple of factors here. Like, why is Michael Page going up to middleweight? One, the stall. Other factor is like at 37, I mean, the later you go into your life, the harder it is to cut weight. So I think he's going to be more comfortable at middleweight than he would be at welterweight. I think he'll be actually a better version of himself, but he's facing somebody who is a way better version, like not way better, but like there's so much potential. He can beat you in a lot of different ways. He's not been tested. We haven't really seen his chin, I would say, you know, at this level. So MVP, really dynamic striker, a lot of power, especially he's going to have more power because he's going to be heavier. What happens if he hits Magomedov square? I don't know. I do, unfortunately, though, even with that, you know, 37 to 30, Sherbutin hasn't really been tested yet, but we've seen how much power he has. I think he's going to get this. I think Michael Page is, as Dave said, he's on the wrong side of 35. And I just don't think it's good enough. I think Magomedov's going to get this. I wouldn't be surprised if the odds were like really in Magomedov's favor. I wouldn't go that far. I haven't looked at the odds. I would put him as like a slight favorite, and I am going to call him. So I'm going to call Shara.
You're right. Magomedov, like, this guy's a buzzsaw. People are high on him. It'll be interesting to see a guy who's very aggressive, very scary, fighting a striker like MVP, who's an amazing striker, but is really not aggressive. He had a million Bellator wins, and a lot of them are slogs. You know, he doesn't take a lot of risks, and then every once in a while, highlight reel knockout. You know, like, he really waits, he really picks his spots, and even, you know, coming into the UFC and fighting really good strikers, like, and really dangerous strikers like Kevin Holland and Ian Garry, he didn't open up in those fights either. He's a cautious guy. So you have this, so far from what we've seen from Magomedov, this offensive monster against a guy who cautiously picks his spots. And if he can do that, yeah, maybe MVP can pick his shots, win a decision, fight a smart fight. Maybe he's got more power at middleweight, like you said, Greg. Like, you know, there's potential here, but there's also the other thing where I'm just thinking Magomedov is just going to, I'm not afraid of this guy. I'm just going to throw caution to the wind, and I'm just going to whip stuff at you. And, you know, maybe MVP doesn't eat that all that well. He's been knocked out before. He's lost striking fights in the UFC, but he got knocked out by Lima in Bellator. You know, he's been wrestled before, but that's probably not going to be the case here because both these guys don't really do particularly any wrestling. I think maybe a younger MVP maybe picks up like a nice, can maybe pick up a technical decision in that. But I think at this point, what we've seen so far is from him in the UFC against really top 15 level guys, I don't think he holds up to the aggression in this fight. I think he either loses the rounds or gets caught.
And also, can I say something here? I hate this fight making. But why are we putting like a 15-0 up and comer against like a dude who's not even really in the division? Like, I feel like Sherbutin Magomedov should be fighting up at this point.
I agree. And you're right.
I don't think he should be fighting guys that are like going on division adventures. Meanwhile, Michelle Pereira is coming off a loss, is ranked number 15, and he's a wacky striker. Like, why didn't we get that fight?
That's actually a really good point. What do either guy get? I guess if Michael Page wins this fight, he becomes a ranked middleweight. So there's actually more for him here. But you're right, for Shara Magomedov, I don't. It's a win, but it's actually kind of fighting down. Yeah.
I mean, if you look at the levels, you could really like put Michelle Pereira and Michael Page on the exact same place.
I'd agree with that too. Yeah.
Perfect. Which is why I think it's fun.
There's no difference between Michelle Pereira and Michael Page. Even their initials are the same. So what for me, what I would say is a better option than Michael Page. I think, first of all, Michael Page is a dynamic striker. He's there. He's ready to go. And he's also a talker. He's also like, you know, a polarizing guy. If you look at where you would put Shara Magomedov, who you would give him, I mean, are you going to give him like the next few guys ahead, Paulo Costa? That would be kind of fun, maybe.
I wouldn't mind seeing with Delazze or Cannonier.
Yeah, but that's not as interesting as Michael Page. You're either gonna give Sheremagomedov a guy who's a few spots higher or an interesting guy or both, right? Michael Page is an interesting guy. So I think it's a matchup that perks up my ears. I'm actually interested to see it. If you're going to give a guy like 10, 11, 12, 13, or that's it doesn't really make much of a difference either to me. If you're going to throw him up there against like Marvin Vittori or Cal Barallo or someone way up high, okay, now we're getting a lot of attention. But to me, Michael Page is the same as any of the 10 to 15 in middleweight.
How about this one in heavyweight? Sergey Pavlovich versus Jirinzo Rozenstruik. Interesting in the fact that two of the heaviest, hardest hitters in the heavyweight division who haven't fought each other. So it makes sense from like a style, like that sort of style matchup there. But also, both guys, have had a lot of hype at some point, but are really stalled. Pavlovich, this guy, he fought for the interim championship, scariest guy in the division. Like the sky was the limit for him, but lost to Aspinall, lost to Volkov. He's kind of floundering right now. And you talk about floundering. Rozenstruik has some incredible knockouts, but this guy's a 50-50 guy right now and is barely hanging on to the top 10. For being terrifying strikers, these guys need something.
This is breakfast for Pavlovich. I know that's probably a bit of a bold statement, but I don't see Jirinzo Rozenstruik, other than like a lucky punch, beating Sergei Pavlovich. Pavlovich like eats guys like Rozenstruik for breakfast. We've seen the never-ending string of knockouts he's had against big one-punch, low-defense power guys. He eats them alive. Like who does he lose to? Like really versatile, dynamic strikers like Volkov and Aspinall. So I stylistically, this is nightmare for Rozenstruik. This has got to be Pavlovich.
So. To me, I think Rozenstruik is a lot more diverse than you're giving him credit for. I don't think he has that kind of one-punch knockout power that, like, you know, other than, like, he pulled it off against Daukaus and, like, Sakai. But, like, he's more technical. On the other hand, like, I think you're completely right. This is 4 versus 9 for a reason. And Rozenstruik has never won those awesome fights with great strikers. He lost to Volkov. He lost to Curtis Blaydes. He lost to Cyril Gagne, he lost to Francis Ngannou, and I just don't see him being able to go out there and outgun fight Pavlovich. I mean, like, Pavlovich has wins over guys who've beaten Rozenstruik, so, like, MMA math here, I think Pavlovich wins this one by knockout. I think he'll probably be in the first round.
Yeah, I think so, too. I don't think he looked great in those last couple losses, but, you know, Volkov is kind of on, like, a bit of a...
Kind Volkov of in some and way. Aspinall. Like,
yeah, how yeah. Much like Aspinall is obviously, yeah, Aspinall is obviously the interim champ. Volkov, I mean, despite the result of that last fight, I mean, he's kind of never looked better. You know, there's like, I don't feel like there's a lot of shame there. He's still obviously like the huge reach, the huge power. And yeah, Rozenstruik, he hits really hard, but he's not that great. His record shows it. You know, a lot of the guys, like when he does win these fights half the time, they are really guys who are past their peak or just really not that great. You mentioned Dave. I consider him a scary hitter because he hits really hard and he's a technical striker. But the best strikers he has fought, he has lost to. And unless Pavlovich is like totally gun shy or something now, something's going wrong, that everything's in his favor to wipe out Rozenstruik.
Yeah, like look at, okay, so what is there any difference between, like, so Derek Lewis, Tai Tuivasa, Jairzinho Rozenstruik, like,
other than the fact that those other two guys kind of reach slightly higher highs, they're pretty much the same kind of guy.
And even and then you can throw Curtis Blaydes on top of that, who's a guy who's the same striking style with some wrestling behind him, and Pavlovich even beat that. So it's tailor-made. And like this is one of those things, this maybe goes back to my Nogueira Brendan Schaub call from many years ago where I looked completely stupid. Maybe I'll look stupid again, but like there's no way. I just can't see Rozenstruik winning this fight.
He's not the favorite. Pavlovich is a 3-1 favorite in this fight. I'm excited to see it. It looked like it should be forever. However long it lasts, it should be fun. In bantamweight, Said Nurmagomedov versus Vinicius Oliveira. Neither of them are ranked, which Said Nurmagomedov, he kind of feels like a guy that should be ranked. He's had a couple of wins in his career, like going back a little bit, that I believe he has been ranked briefly. Because Douglas Silva de Andrade, Cody Stamann, like at the time he beat those guys, those are ranked level wins, but the loss to Jonathan Martinez hurt quite a bit.
He's lost twice in the UFC against UFC level competition, Hany Barcelos and Jonathan Martinez. And I mean, like, Martinez is very, very good. Hany Barcelos, he's pretty good, but I mean, like,
Barcelos was at a better place when he beat Nurmagomedov too. Like, you know, right now Barcelos is in that, like, oh, he's like a wily vet who might get a win every once in a while. Back then he was kind of a threat, but you're right. Like, Said Nurmagomedov, he hasn't hit any of these highs. I believe he was briefly ranked number 15. He needs something. Briefly
15, but like the other thing is, like, let's be honest, the guys he's beaten recently, and he's beaten them impressively. Muin Gafurov and like Sadikov, Kamar Karimov. Like, what are we talking about here? Like, they don't even have Wikipedia pages. You know, same with Mark Striegel. And, like, you can only fight in Abu Dhabi and Las Vegas. Meanwhile, like, Vinicius, like, Oliveira. Look, this guy doesn't seem all that impressive. Just you know, looking at it, you're like, oh, well, okay, like, this seems like it should be, like, a pretty nice feed for Said Nurmagomedov. But if you look at Vinicius, he's come in, he beat Bernardo Sapal, he beat Ricky Simon. Both those are pretty good wins. He's a well-disciplined fighter with a really good record. I don't think this is a soft fight for Said Nurmagomedov. I think this is a really tough fight for him. And this is another one where, like, he's getting a guy who's complete nobody.
Nobody, I don't know. Like, beating Ricky Simon, like, that actually just shows how strong bantamweight is, that you could be a guy who's 2-0 in the UFC, you beat Ricky Simon already, and you're not a top 15 guy.
Yeah, Ricky Simon's a great win. Sopai followed up the loss with a win over Ricky Tercio. So he's a guy who belongs in the UFC. He's not a scrub, right? So these are two legit solid wins. Vinicius is a killer striker. He's got flying knockout. He knocks guys out left, right, and center.
Big finisher.
Generally wins by submission. So really the question isn't like, oh, which one of these guys is better? It's, where's this fight going to go?
Yeah.
Is Said going to be able to get a submission, or is Vinicius going to knock him out? I'm leading towards Vinicius because I just see, you know, Syed's been tested by a couple of guys and he's kind of failed that test against, you know, a tough guy like Cody Stamann who can fall prey to the submission, against like guys who are lesser of a name, maybe like UFC fringe guys. He can do it, but he's got taken to decision and lost to two legit UFC level guys. And I think that the striking of Vinicius Oliveira, it is really, really solid. Could he get caught? Sure. But I think he's going to get it. So I am going to go Oliveira. I don't think he'll get subbed.
My brain is telling me that it's going to be Nurmagomedov. However, I got a feeling that the odds on this one are going to be insane for Nurmagomedov. And if the odds are longer than like 200-300, I'm 100% flipping and going with Oliveira, because like this fight is way closer than it should be.
I feel that it's going to be close too. And the thing with Nurmagomedov, like, there's something to tenacity, you know, and sometimes sometimes you got to throw a lot of takedowns to get one. But this guy, 16% takedown accuracy. He can submit you when he gets you to the ground. He's got creative stuff. He is not getting everyone to the ground. It's not coming easy. If the game plan is to ground the opponent and submit him, he's missing the first part. I don't know, but Oliveira, only seen him a couple times. He's really good. He's really, really well-rounded, really dangerous, big finisher, especially like even on the ground, he can finish. I think he's the more dangerous guy here. And I'm going to go with him. I'm actually predicting close odds, because I think people are kind of starting to catch on that Said Nurmagomedov may wind up just being a top 20 guy now. Yeah. So Nurmagomedov is the favorite in this fight. He's a 2-1 favorite. In middleweight, Dave's prospect of the year, Ikram Aliskerov versus Andre Muniz. It's a pretty interesting fight. Aliskerov, he came in pretty hot into the UFC, got a couple of wins. And then the last time the UFC was in Saudi Arabia, I believe, he got slotted in as a replacement fight to fight Robert Whittaker and just got annihilated. He took his shot. It didn't happen.
You guys got bad luck. Who was other losses against?
Hamzat.
That is tough. Now, Andre Muniz, he had some hype at one point, obviously an amazing grappler. He's the one that submitted Jacare Souza into retirement, essentially. He had a lot of hype, but he ran into, for being such a great grappler, he ran into two also great grapplers who are very aggressive on their own. And Paul Craig and Brendan Allen, got him out of there, and it really stalled his momentum. He's out of the rankings. But I think both of these guys are talented enough to be top 50 middleweights, but they're not right now.
Ikram, like, he shot for the moon. He stepped in to replace Khamzat against Whitaker. Hey, you know what? If he won that fight, we'd have been talking about him as being like one of the best of all time. He didn't win it. He got crushed. You look at Andre Muniz, a lot of submissions, a lot of arm bars. I think he's obviously like he was ranked for a reason. In this particular fight, I think I'm going to go with Oleskarov because one, I really like the guy. I think he's good. I think he's good up and coming talent. And I mean, like, I think his grappling game and submission game is good enough that I don't think Muniz is going to get him out of there. And I think Oleskarov is slightly better on the feet. But this is another one that's like a very close fight.
I am leaning towards Oleskarov as well, just because kind of how Andre Muniz has looked against, you know, the most recent two losses. And then the wins, like, yes, a very, very fading Jacare, Eric Anders, Uriah Hall. Yeah, I just think that, and then, you know, he was able to get a split decision against another guy who's sort of had some wins going in, Park Jin-young, but I don't know. I just think Oleskarov should have this. I think that Muniz, we've seen his line, and I think Oleskarov has the potential to go above that line. So I'm gonna go with Oleskarov.
Well, it's not like either of these guys tend to spend like a lot of time, you know, like on the feet. But from what I've seen, like, I think Oleskarov, I think he's the better striker. So I think already at that point, you know, he's probably winning standing. Muniz, if he gets the fight to the ground, hey, interesting stuff can happen. But I've seen it twice. Aggressive, good guys beat him in his own game, essentially. And I think Oleskarov's good enough to do that. He's got good submissions on a lot of Kimuras, TKOs and stuff. Like, he's a dangerous guy on the ground, too. I think Muno's kind of wherever this thing goes, he kind of gets roughed up a little bit. I think eventually Oleskarov gets him. Oh, geez. Oleskarov's a 6-1 favorite.
There you go.
That was my gut in this fight, was that he's better everywhere. In featherweight, Muhammad Naimov versus Genghis Khan Olfi. Yeah, I don't know this guy. Is this his first UFC fight?
No, it's not.
I do not remember his fight with Myron Santos.
Yeah, well, he got knocked out. So I don't know. I think this is like your chance for Naimov to redeem himself in Saudi Arabia after, you know, his previous loss, because his last loss against Felipe Lima was in Saudi Arabia. Before that, he had a pretty good go. You know, Malarkey, Wood, and Silva. Eric Silva, I don't know, not the Eric Silva.
Second Eric Silva, yeah.
Leg injury, but like Nathaniel Wood, Jamie Malarkey, those are okay wins. I don't know what happened with Felipe Lima in that fight. I mean, he got submitted, but again, I think he'll look to redeem himself. And I think Khan Offley, I there's not much there that I could say. So I would go with Naimov there.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, what am I going to say? The guy that I didn't even remember his first UFC fight that he got knocked out on. Like, this is an expert analysis here, but I know Naimov's good. Oh yeah, he's the favorite. He's a 2.5-1 favorite. And then onto the prelims, in heavyweight, Shamil Gazia versus Thomas Peterson. This could be bad. Gazia's a 4-1 favorite. Okay. And in lightweight, Abdul Karim El Sawadi versus Balaji Oki. In lightweight, Terence McKinney versus Demir Hadzevic. Now, Hadzevic, like, I feel like that's a name I haven't seen in ages. Okay, so yeah, so check out these names of his last wins. So he's got 4 wins in the UFC. Yancy Medeiros, Marco Polo Reyes, Nick Hine, and Marcin Held. Like, talk about names from the past. Like, it has been a while. It's been a while since this guy's been getting big wins in the UFC. He came back recently to, and he lost to Mark Diakhizi, who's also not in the UFC anymore. But, like, you know, he was a solid 50-50 guy before, like, the big layoffs and obviously that last loss. Terence McKinney, talking about 50-50 guys. Sometimes he looks like the most fun fighter in the UFC, and yeah, he might be one of the most fun fighters in the UFC, but half the time he flattens the guy, and half the time he gets flattened.
You know, McKinney's a dynamic striker, but he's, you know, not very defensively minded. I don't have any faith in Hadzevic, considering it's been like, what, 3 years, almost 3 years, and it was a loss. I have to go with McKinney.
Sure. Why?
I have no idea. I'll go Terrence McKinney, I guess. Oh yeah, yeah. McKinney. Big favorite. -350, which doesn't necessarily mean that he's going to win this fight because it's Terrence McKinney, but I guess, you know, he's expected to get